to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
When you talk about conspiracies and you talk about UFOs and the Kennedy assassination, you get into all sorts of political shenanigans, such as they are. With Gene and Chris, we have John Greenwald of the Black Vault. So, John, other than what we learn as what's happening after the event, or as the event was taking place, what about before in the run-up?
Talking about 9/11, correct?
I mean, we're back in 9/11, yeah.
I don't know what you kind of want me to spotlight on. I don't really get the point of
the point is here in the run-up to 9/11, when all this stuff was going on, and supposedly they had, what, 50 or 55 warnings that something was afoot. Did they deliberately ignore it? Were they oblivious to the consequences? Did they allow it to happen?
Well,
there all sorts of stories there.
There are all sorts of stories, and kind of thank you for explaining that to me. So, yeah, my comments on that is, no, I don't believe that they saw that this was going to happen on September 11th or late in 2001, and they let it happen. I just don't see that happening. What I think happened, and you can see this, and this is documented as well, is that they get intelligence, they get leads, they get tips, they get allegations, they get, you know, they get that every hour of every day. Every minute. It's amazing to see how many tips the Secret Service gets on threats on the president. Okay, now, hopefully I won't set off all the alarms of Echelon by saying this, but God forbid, let's say an assassination were to take place of a United States president, none in particular, on a date sometime in the future that I'm not privy to. Now, that being said, what would happen? Well, you would put the spotlight on that date. You'd put the spotlight on the Secret Service. You would line up the warnings that they got and say, well, did you act on this one? No, we didn't. We didn't have the manpower. Well, did you act on this one? No, we didn't. We didn't have the manpower. No, we didn't think this was relevant. Well, do you think it's relevant now? I mean, you could put the spotlight on the Secret Service and prove that there was some massive intelligence failure and some, you know, evidence of a conspiracy, but does that mean it really happened? Now, what's my point? With 9/11, I really don't think there was that much of an influx in warnings on terrorist attacks. I believe that that influx came post 9/11. I believe that, yes, it was an intelligence failure, and in a lot of ways to look at 9/11, that's where it stops. When you deal with the United 93, I believe, yes, we shot it down. No documented proof to that, however. But I just don't buy into the theory that we had this huge covert operation to let this happen, because why? You look at the motive. What did we want? You want to throw oil in there? You want to say Bush had a vendetta against Hussein? You want to, you know, whatever motive you want to throw in there. Well, I'm sorry. He didn't have to cripple the United States economy. He didn't have to bring down the Twin Towers. And he didn't have to deface the power of America by striking one of its most powerful symbols, being the Pentagon. He didn't have to do any of that to accomplish the same exact thing. So I just don't buy that there's a viable motive, let alone the evidence to back it up.
Well, I think it's pretty clear they used that event as an excuse to go into Iraq, although they might have done that anyway. Let's move to some other stories here.
And get the Patriot Act signed in 2 weeks.
That was interesting, too. And it's interesting here, too, is that, if anything, Obama has been more warlike in certain aspects than Bush. I mean, look at the drone program. So, you know, this is the person who you think is the Kenyan liberal, communist, fascist, whatever. And he comes in there and he, yes, we got out of Iraq. Of course, he beefs up the Afghanistan war, puts more troops in there, starts the drone program, and, of course, keeps the Patriot Act going. So what's the difference? All things remain the same. I have this theory, John, and this could be something we can talk about, getting away from the politics after this, and that is that when the new president takes over, you know, he takes the oath of office, he's sitting in the White House after the inauguration, and national security people, secret government people, whatever, go in there and they brief him, and they say, Mr. President, things are not quite what you think they are, here's what's really going on, and suddenly everything changes.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I believe wholeheartedly that when you're campaigning, and I'll use Obama as an example, and I will defend him on this, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but I will defend Obama on this point, is that when you're campaigning, you're saying one thing, but when you get into office, it's exactly how you just said it. You get the truth. to a point. You understand the reality. So let's compare it to Obama. He says, I'm going to close Guantanamo Bay. I'm going to shut it all down. We don't need it. It doesn't work. Waterboarding is ridiculous, and so on and so forth. What happens? Gitmo is still alive and well. They still water. Well, that's arguable. I won't say the waterboarding comment. According to them, they only waterboarded 4 people. Okay, but not during the Obama administration. But that being said, now they got bin Laden with intelligence that they garnered from waterboarding.
That's being disputed, but I'll grant that at least some information came that way.
Right, it's disputed, but absolutely that's what they did. That's how they got this intelligence. And I do believe that. And so what happens is, as Obama gets into office, he learns things like that Guantanamo is an intelligence gathering mission, so to speak, that facility needs to stay in play. So he keeps it in play. The Patriot Act has to stay in play. So what's he do? He keeps it in play. And yet when he's campaigning, and this is where I'll defend him, I believe he really thought he would do all of that. I believe he really thought he would go in there, shut down Gitmo, rewrite the Patriot Act to be, you know, the Obama Sunshine Act, and make everybody feel, you know, safe and secure in their homes, and the government wouldn't look in on their private lives without due cause. And I think that that's truly what his intent was. I believe he was being honest. But now the game changed, and he learned what really was going on. And I think that that's something that these 44 presidents actually are only privy to, and no one else is. And that is the reality behind the intelligence community, the safety of America, and what truly is going on behind the scenes. And there's not many people alive that know that, and Obama's now one of them. And I think his actions should really speak to the magnitude of what is the reality behind the scenes.
And maybe that's why presidents, as soon as they get into office, really start popping gray hairs.
It's not only that. I mean, look at the way they age. It's sad. And you know, that's you got to take partisanship out of it and look at Obama just 4 years ago, just 5 years ago, and look at him today. You look at George Bush in 2001, then look at him in 2008. Same with Clinton, and you keep going backwards. And it takes its toll. And I don't believe that that's just the physical demand. That's absolutely the mental demand.
Yeah.
You know, I will say it's got to be hard for them to make the tough decisions. Let's say like the Benghazi thing or the 9/11 thing. What do you do? You know, do you just load up the guns and blow them to hell, or do you?
No, you continue reading about the little goat for 7 minutes to the kids in Florida.
You know, here's the deal, though. It wasn't terrorism when the first plane struck.
That's true. They did not know.
I do have to support President Bush for 2 reasons. Number one, they didn't say, Mr. President, we've been struck on United States soil. Continue reading. Not a problem. They didn't say that. They said it was a mistake. It was an accident in those opening minutes.
Yeah, and that's true. Yeah. So it was a very, very fluid situation.
Yeah, so I think, you know, and I would say this, Democrat or Republican, that if a president was sitting reading to school children and a very horrible tragedy, a mistake, where a plane hits a building and the president freaks out and says, sorry, kids, national emergency, I got to run, and he leaves, you know, that causes panic. Because
right.
Then it's like, what does the president know that we don't know? Oh, my God. The minute that plane, the second plane struck, what happened? Bush left the school. He did exactly what any president would do. So I think that, you know, when you look at it, you can say anything you want when he's sitting reading to school children, but it was not terrorism. Bin Laden was never whispered into his ear. Al-Qaeda was never mentioned. So I think that you can't look too hard for the conspiracy, because you could definitely find it no matter where you look.
Well, like I said, he went on reading for 7 minutes because, you know, it was a fluid situation. Mm-hmm. I have a question from one of our more active participants at forum.theparacast.com. And he has a bunch of questions, but I want to throw one at you off the top here, which I'd like to know.
I'll tell you what, we have to keep that as a cliffhanger. What is the question that Chris wants to know, asked by our members of the Paracast community forums? John Greenwald of the Black Vault joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
A
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract. Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com. Spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, John Greenwald Jr. of The Black Vault. He's also a TV producer and consulting producer and all that stuff. And we had a very, very important question posed by our listeners. One of many. There's like 24 questions. We'll try to ask as many as we can. Chris, proceed.
Okay. We have a question from Gogs Mackay, who's one of our most active participants at forum.theparacast.com. John, any favorite scoops you think may have been mistakenly released or declassified? Are there any that spring to mind out of all those thousands of documents?
Well, that's a great question. And I will say that one of the documents that I would bring up is something that was released, which was an Air Force manual, namely 10-206, that specifically outlined how the United States Air Force should report unidentified flying objects. Now, that in itself isn't interesting. What's interesting is this was pretty much a present-day publication. The United States Air Force, contrary to what they wanted you to believe about UFOs and that they ended their investigation back in 1969, they were still collecting these reports. And I had done quite a bit of investigation where they sent the reports to, which happened to be an installation that was not subject to the Freedom of Information Act. But they said in good faith they looked for records pertaining to my request, didn't find any. This was at the NORAD installation for reference. And I actually was able to uncover quite a few documents through the Canadian government. So I was able to prove they were outright lying. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, the Huffington Post last year was doing a story, and they asked me a very similar question. What are the most important documents that have come out about UFOs? And so I gave them a couple, and this United States Air Force manual was one of them. The last time it was updated, I believe, was in 2009, 2010, and unidentified flying objects had its own chapter in this manual. Well, the phone call was made to the Pentagon by Lee Spiegel at the Huffington Post. He did an excellent job, as any journalist would do. He wanted to get the opposite point of the story and wanted to ask, here, how do you explain this document? Because I showed him how to get it on the Air Force's server. You didn't have to, trust me. You could download it from the Air Force, which he did, and was quite amazed. Well, 2 days had gone by. The Pentagon refused to return his phone call. And so he goes back onto the Air Force's website. He downloads the document, and it's completely different. It is completely changed. The entire chapter on UFOs was completely taken out. And so he called me, and I thought maybe it was just a mistake. I log on, and sure enough, they changed it. The publication date for that version of 10-206 was the day after, or the 2 days after Lee had called the journalist.
Boy, talk about getting caught with your pants down. Wow.
Exactly. And I think that maybe it was a mistake for them to release that manual, not only to me, but then stored it on their own website. I had released it. I've lectured about it. I got it into a History Channel show that I had produced and directed. So it kind of gotten out there. But this was the first time that the mainstream media was actually going to spotlight it, get the Pentagon involved, and say, hey, you guys, speak to this. What is this? If you're saying in one breath, we don't care about UFOs, and we haven't since 1969. How could you have this manual and say that you're looking into these UFOs? And they changed the entire document. So it's a very fascinating story, and I believe it's still in the Huffington Post archives. You can still read the story, but I think that that's definitely a prime example of something that came out that they probably regretted.
When it comes to reality in the government, it's very, very fluid.
That's right.
There's a follow-up question. Has anyone in any sort of official position tried to get you to remove anything from the vault?
No. In fact, going back to 9/11, I actually feared that would happen, and rightfully so. After 9/11 happened, the government and military went back and classified hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of pages. It's unknown about how many actually were reclassified. So those that may have been secret or top secret or restricted that were declassified and released, they went ahead and reclassified them and pulled them off the shelves, so to speak, and didn't allow them to be out in the daylight anymore. I never got a phone call or a knock on the door, and I really thought that I would. So here's my quick explanation to that, and I think it's very important to kind of take that story, digest it, and then realize how the government today uses the Freedom of Information Act and responds to requests like I send in, and I believe that they're very much more tight-lipped about what they release for this reason. After 9/11, when they reclassified all this information, let's face it, if this happened in, the early 80s, mid-80s, and they reclassified a bunch of information, they could knock on a few doors for those people that used the Freedom of Information Act in the early days, got the physical hard copies, and that was it. But we live in the internet digital age. We live in the John Greenwald created the Black Vault age, and I give these things out freely. So there are unknown copies floating around. So there's no way that they could ever...
Yeah, you can't get that cat back in the bag.
Exactly. So once it's out, once that cat's out of the bag, it's out. And I think that that was probably a big lesson for them. And I'm kind of curious if they ever did studies about, you know, the effects of, hey, this was a big learning lesson for us. Maybe we were a little bit transparent, maybe a little bit too transparent. But the minute those documents saw the light of day, that's it. It's never coming back. They could come in, raid my computer, raid my website, raid my physical filing cabinets. They could raid all of that, and yet there's still copies out there on multiple servers around the world, and they'll never be able to stop it. So I think that's something you really got to consider about how are they treating the Freedom of Information Act today.
Yeah, they have to be extremely careful. Well, have you ever been hacked? Have you ever had some real targeted attacks, cybercrime type attacks? This is another question from Gogs McKay. Have you ever been, had your servers knocked down? Have you ever been able to determine, if you have been attacked, what they were going after?
Yeah, I believe that it wasn't a government or military sinister operation. Yes, I have been hacked. Yes, I have been attacked. One of which came last year, which was very, very interesting. They installed a script on my server, and to make an extremely technical long story short, I finally, after hours and hours and hours of searching, found it, because I have hundreds of thousands of files in the website itself, so it was very tough to find. Once I was able to track it down, I talked to one of the leading antivirus companies out there, arguably, which is AVG, and I talked to one of their main techs, and they were the only software that actually detected this virus. McAfee didn't, Norton didn't, no one else did, but AVG did. And so once I got the code to them, they said this was the most sophisticated strand of this particular virus they had ever seen. And I have that all in writing. So whether or not I was the unlucky schmuck that got some kiddie hacker from the middle of Kyrgyzstan who decided to find some server vulnerability on the Black Vault, I don't know. Maybe that's a big coincidence.
We have another coincidence to play out right now. We have John Greenwald Jr. joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there, I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCN. GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@GCNLive.com.
We've lived in this neighborhood for years. We have an alarm system, and all of our doors have deadbolts. They kicked in our door, and we're in and out of our house in about 5 minutes. The police arrived in about 20 minutes, but they were long gone with our TV, jewelry, and my guns. I kept thinking, what if my family had been home? The police officer said that more than 85% of break-ins are through a door, and that deadbolts alone don't stop intruders. The officer told me to go to EasyArmor.net if we wanted something that would actually stop an intruder. Easy Armor reinforces all of the weak points on your doors and is guaranteed to prevent kick-ins. I was surprised at how little Easy Armor costs, and I installed Easy Armor in about 30 minutes.
Visit EasyArmor.net. That's the letters Easy, A-R-M-O-R.net. Or call 888-58-ARMOR. That's 888-582-7667. EasyArmor.net. Ultimate door security made easy.
We can buy GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
John Greenwald Jr. of the Black Vault joining Gene and Chris in the Paracast. He was talking about the time that his server was hacked. You know, we have a firewall up on our web server. We have a dedicated web server running our sites and forums, and handling a lot of the downloads of our shows that GCN doesn't handle directly. And every day I get emails from the firewall. The software generates emails about attempted intrusions of our server. We get from 50 to 100 a day, sometimes hundreds. Of course, with a robust firewall, it doesn't mean anything. It's just one of those things, and you put up with it. But I recall on one occasion, our sites were completely down because somebody got in there. And it's very sophisticated. They basically change the link to the server software, which is something called Apache. So they change the link to Apache, the web server software that we use, so the sites wouldn't come up. Now, it was an easy fix, but it was a very silly, dirty trick, if nothing else.
Maybe it came from that block in Shanghai. I just saw an article recently that it was something like in the 90s percent. Hacker attacks are coming from this one particular block in Shanghai.
it's sad because a lot of these hack attempts are done by these, you know, 13, 14-year-olds in countries where hacking is actually not illegal. And that's what's tough. You get these kids that can get into a government system, and it happened just a few years ago, where, you know, so I forget exactly what country it was, but by the law of that particular country, it was not, cybercrime wasn't a crime. You know, they cooperated with the United States military to get the information back. The United States decided not to pursue any international crimes. But the country itself couldn't do anything to this little kitty hacker because it wasn't illegal. So there's definitely a lot that has to be done with cybercrime, because and a lot of military strategists are saying this as well, that cybercrime is really the terrorism of the future.
Right.
And I think we have to really analyze how vulnerable are we, because I think we are so digitally dependent on our cell phones, our Facebooks, our social networks, our checking in everywhere we go. That, you know, the horrors of social networking is a very evil topic that I love talking about, because it really I think is a very dangerous path our society is going down.
Chris, many more questions.
Yeah, here's one. This, again, is from Gogs Mackay. Is there any document that you know exists, that you've heard about, and maybe perhaps someone has seen it, that you would love to get your hands on, that you haven't acquired yet? Is there any smoking gun document that you're pretty sure exists out there that you really would like to get?
You know, other than theorizing of a document's existence, no, I can't say that there's anything out there. Here's my quick response to leaked information and stuff like WikiLeaks or stuff that appears in somebody's mailbox or, you know, something to that effect. I don't hold any weight, truth, or validity to documents that do not come to me under official letterhead. And the reason is because in this day and age, and even 20 years ago, the ability to fake a document is so easy. You know, you'd go nuts trying to verify every government document or alleged video or anything like that.
So where do you come down on MJ-12?
Well, I knew you'd probably go there pretty quick. Here's the deal. I've been friends with Stanton Friedman for a very long time, almost as long as I've been doing the Black Vault. So that's going about 16 years. And Stan's an amazing researcher and personal friend. The reason I say that is I've spent a lot of time looking at Stan's research. And if anybody's going to prove it, it's him. And I think he's got a lot of evidence to that, and he spent a lot of time investigating it. Do I personally believe the MJ-12 documents are real? I'm going to be honest with you and say I'm not 100%. I think there are some coincidences, absolutely. There were some official documents that maybe mentioned Majestic and or an MJ-12. Does that mean it's the same exact MJ-12? I don't know. The fact that Stanton Friedman is confident that it does and confident that the MJ-12 documents are real, I don't say this about many people in this field, but if Stan says it, I believe it.
Okay, this leads to yet another question from our fine poster Gogs. Do you have a particular stance pertaining to the UFO question? In other words, are you a nuts and bolts guy, or are you open to some more esoteric explanation?
I'm very nuts and bolts. I've never seen anything myself, never had a sighting or experience, but I'm very nuts and bolts, meaning I think that what we're dealing with is in the physical realm. It's something that we could touch one day. I don't think it's spiritual, or I don't think it's the ninth dimension or anything like that. And I believe that there's a lot of science that comes with the extraterrestrials that are out there. Hopefully that answered your question. I could keep going, but I think that
that's kind of my
surface answer to that.
In other words, yeah, you are a nuts and bolts guy. And, you know, a person that has collected over a half a million pages of government documents. If you're not a nuts and bolts guy, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's some questions from Conrad Hartman, who's, again, been a poster at forum.theparacast.com and quite an active participant as well on our forums. What topics, John, within ufology do you feel are underreported and under-discussed? And conversely, do you feel that there are any topics that have beaten into the ground? And I add, besides Roswell.
Besides Roswell, well, that was my answer. You stole, meaning beaten into the ground.
Well, what about underreported stories and under-discussed? Do you feel that there are some cases out there or angles on the subject that we're not, addressing enough or putting enough focus on?
Well, I think the astronaut sightings and the NASA videos are pretty fascinating, whether or not they are true UFOs in the sense that it's showing extraterrestrial spacecraft or top secret technology. I'm not real sure, but those to me, I stand out, and that's a personal opinion because I'm just kind of into that. If the government is saying here you go, and it's photographs or video, I think there's something to that, and I think that we should definitely look at it. And not many people in the mainstream media, not many journalists truly do. I think really to answer that question, honestly, though, I've got to look at it, look at the topic as a whole, not necessarily a particular case on a particular date,
right,
but the topic as a whole. And I think that really what the media is missing is the magnitude and the frequency of sightings that are out there. Are they all unexplainable? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, I would argue the majority of them are explainable, that they are Earth-based objects that could be top-secret technology or something to that effect. But there is a percentage, even if it's a fraction of 1% of the cases that are out there, are truly unidentified, real, and hold a strong possibility to there being an extraterrestrial connection. That's still a very sizable number. And I think that that's something that we need to look at as a whole. But when you look at the main method for this information to get out there, and that's namely the media, when you look at the mainstream media, the media channels that people actually watch, it's a very underreported topic. They glom onto one UFO story maybe every 2 or 3 years. And it's generally around a slow news time, and it's generally like weeks after the event happened. And what does that mean? Well, it's a slow news day. They have nothing else. You know, I work in television. Unfortunately, that's how it works. You don't get a this just in breaking news and they interrupt your nightly program because a UFO was spotted over Phoenix or a UFO was spotted over D.C. They don't do that. And I think that that's too bad, because I think there are cases out there. There are there is physical evidence out there that warrants a scientific investigation and warrants the media to really spotlight it. And they just don't. So, you know, not to rule out any important cases, going back to your question, I just think it's the topic as a whole you really have to look at, that right. is what's underreported.
What happens, of course, is then you get the Fox News alert, and it's all about some show business personality who got arrested for drunk driving. That's where you go. John Greenwald Jr. of the Black Vault joining Gene and Chris in
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $34.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans. And it's perfect if you're traveling or away from home. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition. Nation by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Many Americans suffer from poor digestion, which can adversely affect their health.
For you guys who have digestive issues, glutathione is amazingly important for inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, stomach cancer. The glands of the stomach produce lots of glutathione. So glutathione's got multiple roles to play, and one of the best ways to upregulate, to make more glutathione, is to take the building blocks, glycine being one of the most important of the building blocks for making glutathione. Your ultimate enzymes contain something called trimethylglycine. We know it as betaine. We talk about betaine as an important ingredient for acidification, for keeping the pH of the stomach nice and low. But betaine can also help you make glutathione.
Help your body build glutathione. Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470, or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast, because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
So many questions, so little time, of John Greenwald of the Black Vault. Go to theblackvault.com, and you'll find all this stuff, and he has forums and everything. Recommended highly. With Gene and Chris, Chris has been asking the questions from you listeners. You posted them in the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. Let's continue.
Well, this one comes from Jeff Davis, who's a fairly recent addition to the Paracast Forum family. And he has a number of interesting questions, one of which is, have you ever come across, John, a document that supports the notion that the United States is participating at a very confidential level within an alternate United Nations-based space and aeronautics technology program, or one that has been publicly suppressed? So I guess it's a question about some sort of Dolan-esque breakaway civilization kind of secret space program. Is there any indication in all the FOIA material that you have been able to gather that we have a some sort of secret space development program?
I'll be honest, I wish that conspiracy was true. I really do. I unfortunately, no, I don't see any evidence to that, and on the contrary, see more evidence that the government is losing their interest in the space program altogether. And that's not just because of the public company line they give about budget cuts and so on. I just think that that's who's running our country. That's our politicians. No one namely, it's just the majority of them do not see the value in the program. So I don't see the black budget dollars going towards a secret UN space program. I really wish it was true. I've got a strong personal connection to the space program. My father worked on the space shuttle, and he was instrumental in, when you saw the space shuttle take off, the main engine, what they call the SSME on the shuttle, he was instrumental in making that work. He was the one that built every one of them.
Wow.
And was a weld engineer. And yeah, he's an amazing guy. And my grandfather, who unfortunately I never met, was connected to the early days of the space programs with the working at Bell Aircraft with the Bell X-1 and the Bell X-5, if you're familiar with those programs, and working with rocket technology, which led to the Saturn V, which gave us Apollo, and the rest was history. So, yeah, it's even aside from my personal connection and my passion for it, I think it's a very important venture. I think it's an endeavor we should not leave behind.
So we don't have secret bases on the moon. We haven't already been to Mars, that sort of thing. Andrew Bisaggio and Laura Eisenhower aside, of course. So you feel that the government is telling us the complete extent to our technological accomplishments in space?
Unfortunately, that's one area I think the government probably is being honest about. And they said, here you go, here's what we discovered, there's no point in going back. And they're turning a lot of stuff to the private sector. And I think with the most recent private launch, with the one rocket that they, you know, had engine failures on the way up, and it ended up not putting the satellite in the proper orbit. I think, you know, you're going to have the horrors of the space race all over again. And that's very scary when you look at, the mission, which was later deemed Apollo 1, when we lost the three astronauts on the launch right. pad. Simply because of a door lock. The hatch didn't have the proper handle. When you look at events like that in history, and it is an amazing history, but when you look at that, we learned those lessons and we moved on.
Right.
I think now if you try and push that all to the private sector, which I am a fan of, but when you try and push that all to the private sector and then NASA just kind of, you know, falls to the wayside and they don't do the space exploration that they've been doing with the shuttle program, you're going to have a lot of those mistakes all over again. And I think it's going to be detrimental to the point that, yeah, maybe it'll be this little seed of a budding space program that's been funded by maybe Virgin Galactic or all these billions and trillionaires that have more money than dream of. They have more money than I have. Wow, I wish I had a portion of that to invest. But they may plant that seed, but it may quickly die because they didn't have the passion and the drive that came along with the early stages of NASA. Now it's all about corporate greed and how much can we charge Kim Kardashian for her first space flight with her baby. You know, I mean, that's what it's, let's face it, that's what it's going to come down to.
Well, and how about terrestrial technology? How about R&D programs that are producing potentially human, engineered flying triangles or large aerial platforms that are being reported more and more frequantly around the, especially in this country. Do you think that there is some sort of exotic black project technology that's being flown around and misidentified as UFO?
That I believe now you're onto something that I believe that they are covering up, and that is that top secret technology where they're pushing the envelope on, you know, what is that next top secret aircraft that they could develop that can go Mach X? You know, how fast can they get it to go? And that's where I think a lot of the black budget dollars are going. And I think that that's obviously easily provable. Not to bring up the Bin Laden raid again, but when you look at what happened during the Bin Laden raid, well, they used top secret stealth helicopters that had never been acknowledged before. And really kind of never rumored before, I could stand corrected if somebody knows that they were talking about this type of technology, but these were no cheap pieces of equipment. And yet we go into a country that is our ally, we're not at war with, and we send some of our most top secret technology. Now, what's my point? Well, my point is that we have absolutely no idea what these guys have that's flying in the air. We have no idea what's on the drawing boards. And we have no idea what's going to be flying next week. And that's where I believe a lot of these UFO sightings can be explained. That's the rational way to look at it. But also I think that that's what they're actively covering up, or at least a portion thereof.
Well, that would take us back to Roswell, because Roswell could have been an early sort of test aircraft.
I don't disagree with you there, but where I would probably be devil's advocate and say that that's not true is here we are in 2013, and we are still yet given an explanation. And when you look at all this other top secret technology that took decades for them to plan, plot, test at Area 51 at White Sands, New Mexico, the average is arguably about 30, 40 years for that technology to be declassified. And look at how much time has passed since Roswell, and we've gotten so many different explanations, four the last time I counted, of official explanations from the government and military, that if that were to be true, we would have learned about it by now. And they would have given us some kind of indication, hey, this is what happened at Roswell, and then we could go, oh, now we get it. But that's never happened.
Unless that led to other technological breakthroughs that they don't want to reveal. You know, there could be a chain of evidence there. They don't want to open up that can of worms. I'm not saying that's the possibility. It's one, because we really don't know.
We don't know, and it's absolutely a possibility. But again, there's so much heat on them for lying for so many years. I think there's that breaking point where they should just say, look, guys, let's just get this conspiracy to rest, and we'll start fighting the other ones. Here, this is what it was. It was Project XYZ,
yeah.
And they released
Roswell,
that.
Roswell, case closed.
Right, case closed again in parentheses. You have to add the again. And then they release that final explanation. I would think that they would want to get the heat off of them, but instead they just keep digging the hole even deeper.
Well, you know, we assume here that the government is competent. You know, it's a very big, large assumption. And yes, we do a lot of things right, but it's also true that they do a lot of screwball things.
That's right. Yeah, that is a big assumption to make.
Well, I have a question here from Rigiwa, who's been a longtime poster at forum.theparacast.com. And this is news to me, John. I'm not sure where he got this question from, but can you tell us about the documents you got from the Obama administration where cabinet members were discussing, quote-unquote, alien implants and Dr. Roger Lear's research? Huh?
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting find. And in fact, while we're talking here, because I didn't see that question, or I'd be a little bit more prepared for it, but under the Freedom of Information Act, just to kind of give a little bit of background, you can request electronic records, and that includes emails. And I think that one of the finds that really kind of got a lot of attention was the fact that internally, there were some emails that were talking about Dr. Lear's implants and his research. Now, this is what I'm going to say, and I believe Larry Lowe of The Examiner, if I have that correct, was the one that kind of originally reported on this, that it was more of an email and a discussion. It's not like they wrote the articles, and Larry was the author of the original piece that they had forwarded around internally, and that's kind of where this whole thing kind of blew up. I think it may be a little bit bigger than what it sounds. I think that this was just an internal email, but nothing really came of it, to be honest with you. There was really nothing to report. It just came up in the electronic records.
And I'll tell you what, we have to come up with this. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
It's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.